I am very grateful and very honored to be with all of you today. My special gratitude to Padma Shri Shri Niranjan Pandya, Kishore Bora, Padma Bibhushan, Dr. K.H. Sancheti, and those who so kindly, out of their inspiration, translated this book, The Journey Home, Raghupati Das, Bamsi Bihari Das, Shubha Swami, Dr. Girish Rathod, and Dr. Aruna Oza. The Bhagavad Gita gives us an understanding of what actual vision is. In this world, especially in the age of Kali, things are taken very cheaply. What is sacred is seen to be ordinary, and what is ordinary is seen to be sacred. We become so much obsessed with the external appearances of the world around us, the people around us, even our own religions, that we lose connection with the very substance. What is real vision? Many people see physically, but really they do not see. To see the truth is actual vision. The Gita tells in 5th chapter, Vidyavanaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshana. That actual darshan, actual vision, is to see every living being as a brother, as a sister. To see every living being as a child of God. To see the living force within everyone as sacred, and to be an instrument of God's love, God's compassion toward all living beings. That is actual vision. And it is only that vision that can actually bring true fulfillment to the heart. It is only that vision that will enable us to see beyond even death. Because that is the vision of the Atma, the vision of the soul, which is transcendent to the ears and the eyes and the nose and the body and its senses, even transcendent to the ever-flickering mind. To actually be able to see ourself, our relationship with God, and all living beings' relationship with God. That is a universal principle. And that is the basis of the deepest, most universal, unconditional spirit of compassion, which is the greatest need in the world today. There's much trouble with poverty in today's world. Economic, financial poverty is a serious problem. But one of the greatest reasons why it even exists is because of a poverty of spirit. Real wealth is that spirit of love for God and compassion for others. And where wealth of compassion is understood, it could alleviate so much of the world's suffering. Blindness is a great challenge. But the Lord, our beloved Krishna, has given historical and contemporary examples of how people, even with difficult challenges, through the spirit of motivation and determination, can actually do great things and be great people in the eyes of God and in the eyes of humanity. Just in the last couple weeks, literally every nation of our planet is mourning the passing away of Nelson Mandela. Why? Why is he so important to the world that he's the front page of every magazine on Earth? TV stations are dedicating hours and days of speaking about his life. His greatness was the spirit in which he overcame challenges. He had a motivation. It was motivated by compassion that people were being beaten down, prejudiced against, and he felt for them. And in a spirit of his devotion to God, actually, he wanted to make a difference, and he wouldn't give up. He was in prison, I think 27 years. Oftentimes in inhuman conditions, torturous conditions, deprived. But the flame of his determination to do something wonderful kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It seemed hopeless. Not a person in the world hardly cared or even acknowledged his existence in prison. But when he came out, his mentor was India's Mahatma Gandhi, who taught how to deal with challenges and overcome prejudice with forgiveness and with integrity. When he came out of his prison, he forgave all of the people that tortured him and wanted to work together with them to build a nation. And he became the president of that nation and didn't punish his persecutors, but honored them and worked with them. It was that ability to meet challenges with the determination based on goodness and compassion that has endeared him to all of humanity. A living example. And it was based on his particular kind of devotion to God. The Bhagavad Gita tells yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, that that one Supreme Lord has descended in many ways throughout history in several forms to establish Sanatan Dharma. How to awaken the dormant love for God that is within our heart in a way that we serve We serve God and we serve all God's children without selfish motivation and without being interrupted by any obstacle or any challenge. Not far from here is the town of Satara. There on the banks of the Krishna and Vainva River lived a blind man, Bilva Mangala Thakur, famous as Lila Sukha. He had such deep devotion to Krishna. He was seeing, not with his physical eyes, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. He was seeing through the love of his soul. He was seeing Krishna everywhere. He was experiencing Krishna's children in everyone. Actually, he was seeing. So many people with eyes all around were not seeing what he was seeing. And he wrote a book. How did he write it? In those days, this is many centuries ago, there wasn't tape recorders or anything like that. He didn't have people just to dictate to. How did he write? The book is Krishna Karnamrita. Sri Chaitanya, the avatar of Sri Krishna in this age of Kali, went to Satara and discovered this book, Krishna Karnamrita, and proclaimed, as did so many other great acharyas of the Vaishnava Sampradayas, that this is one of the most important, deepest, most illuminating books ever written in the history of humanity. He kept that book with him, Sri Chaitanya, wherever he went, because it revealed the highest, most intimate spiritual revelations. He didn't have money. He was blind. But he found such ecstasy, ananda, in his love for Krishna. And he wanted to share that with the world. He gave vision to the world. Near Govardhan in Vrindavan is Chandra Srovar. There lived another blind man, Surdas, a descendant of a direct associate of Sri Ballabhacharya. Surdas, his poems, his bhajans, the prayers that he wrote, and he wrote thousands and thousands of them sitting there under a tree near a little pond at Govardhan. It has changed the lives of tens of millions of people throughout history. It gave vision, a philosophy. Vision of a philosophy of life wherein our sole true motivation of everything we speak, everything we do, is our love, the inherent love of the soul. He spoke about Krishna and Sri Radha's beautiful pastimes, their leelas. He spoke about the social necessity of living in harmony with each other based on keeping that divine, supreme father and mother of all of us in the center of all of our relationships. He taught a life of compassion. My guru, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, his guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, was son of Bhaktivinoda. He was perhaps the greatest scholar of his day. He lived in the 19th and 20th centuries. Srila Saraswati Thakur was called a living encyclopedia because when he was young, he could read books in a library and remember every line of every book, of entire libraries. He was called a Singha Guru because he understood philosophically and with such deep realization and compassion the conclusions of the Vedas that any kind of discrepancy could not stand before him. He accepted as his guru Gaurkishor Das Babaji, who was physically blind. And he had no education. He couldn't read or write because they didn't have the technologies as today that is being provided. He was a simple man. But yet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur understood, I want to see what he's seeing. I want to see that love of God everywhere, in and everything, like he is seeing. And he became the disciple of Gaurkishor Das Babaji Maharaj, who shared his wisdom in ways that changed the world. And Srila Prabhupada, my own guru, what challenges he endured. He was motivated by compassion, motivated because he hated to see human suffering of any sort. And he understood if we change the hearts of people, then they will naturally be instruments of compassion on every level. When he was 70 years old, he took a boat with no money from Calcutta to New York to share the gift of bhakti, of Sanatana Dharma, with the people of the West. It's well known, on the boat he had two heart attacks, severe seasickness. When eventually he reached New York, he didn't know anyone. Somehow or other, he was given a little house in a ghetto, the Bowery. He was trying to write some books. He had a little old typewriter. One day when he went out to buy some potatoes and some rice, somebody broke in his little room and stole everything he had. He met someone, a young man, who invited him to stay with him in his little apartment flat that had no furniture. And one day that person went crazy on drugs and tried to kill Srila Prabhupada. And then he was out and he was homeless. He had a ticket to come back to India. Why didn't he come? Why did he leave his beautiful little place in Vrindavan, where he had his own room at the place of the Rasalila, to do that? The challenges, the obstacles, only made the fire of his determination more to make a difference in the world. He was 70. He had serious heart disease. A few months later, he had a stroke. You see, challenges of life, when we meet them with integrity, determination, in a spirit of compassion, in a spirit of love, that is true greatness. we can't really tell the greatness of a person until they are put in challenging situations. Compassion means paradukaduki. This is the Vedic perception. That another person's suffering is my suffering. Another person's happiness is my happiness. Sri Naranjan Pandya, I was told very briefly that when he was 14 years old, he was just playing like all children play, and a cricket ball hit his head, and he permanently lost his eyesight. When you could see, and then you lose what you could see, it's much more tragic than if you never see. Because you understand what you've lost. Paradukaduki. Rather than, why is the world against me? Why did this happen to me? His transformation of consciousness is that situation impelled him to be great. Because he translated the experience in a way, how can I serve through this? He knew the pain, the sorrow of blindness, and he felt deeply for those who were blind and for those who potentially could become blind. And he gave his life to give them sight. To give sight to the people going blind, and to give hope, to give education, to give greatness to people who were blind like him. This is a wonderful example to the world. Seva. Seva means to serve others without selfish motives. Seva means to be an instrument of Krishna or God's love in what we do. His joy is to feel the joy of others. His sorrow is to feel the sorrow of others. On a spiritual dimension, this conception, this truth, reaches its ultimate fullness, beyond birth, beyond death. To actually be able to give this vision to the people who have eyes that can see, and to people who don't have eyes to see, to give them real eyes to see. Our real eyes are the eyes of our Atma, our soul, the vision of the heart, the vision of love, of compassion. When we live by this principle, we really become great people and can make contributions, whether they're big historical contributions or very small. It really doesn't make any difference. Whether we're Hanuman carrying gigantic mountaintops to build a bridge across the Indian Ocean, or a little squirrel just carrying little grains of sand. To Ramchandra, if you are doing the best you can with sincerity, whatever your handicaps or whatever your strength, if we just do the best we can with sincerity for the right cause, that is greatness in the eyes of God. That is perfection of life. In our tradition, this chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and satsang, are the ways of awakening that divine vision, that divine love. And Srila Prabhupada, our guru, taught whatever one's qualifications or disqualifications materially has nothing to do with the opportunity to awaken that vision, that love from our hearts. Compassion is when we have something, we want to share it with people who do not have it. That spirit is wealth of the heart. Wealth of the body could be something wonderful or something not at all wonderful, but it can't bring satisfaction. Wealth of the heart can bring us satisfaction and others satisfaction. One could be living under a tree on a riverbank with a simple loincloth and absolutely no home or anything and be the wealthiest man in the world. One could be living in a magnificent mansion with a huge estate and be the wealthiest man in the world. It's not a matter of what we have physically. It's a matter of the spirit of our heart. That is real wealth. And whatever we have, whether it be funds, whether it be influence, whether it be wisdom, to be an instrument of God's grace and share it with others, that spirit is wealth. That is real vision. To those of you here who do not have physical vision, the blind, please know that there's infinite hope. To love God and to do great things in this world, we don't need eyes. There's infinite hope. An infinite opportunity of what we can do if we follow in the footsteps of people who we've seen who have done it. And to those who are seeing with eyes, recognize how blind we really are and how much we really do need to take shelter of a higher power, the power of grace, to actually see things as they are. See with God's eyes. Work with God's hands. Hear with God's ears. Speak with God's mouth. That is bhakti, to be an instrument of love. If there's one thing this world needs, it's living examples of selfless compassion, of people who actually see that the greatness of life is one thing, to be an instrument of Krishna's love in our family, in our community, in the world. Thank you very much.